We're in our third week of Compassion Camp, and our focus is a little different. Scripture has shown us this month that compassion helps us to see and welcome others and to bravely take risks to help others. But this week, our Bible verses remind us that compassion helps us love ourselves. Just as we're called to show compassion to others, God wants us to show gentleness and kindness to ourselves. When we pay attention to and honor our own selves, we experience how God sees and loves us, and we connect with God's Spirit that is within us. If you're like me, it can be uncomfortable talking about loving yourself. It feels a little prideful. And there are certainly those who focus entirely too much on their own needs and desires, rather than on God and the people around them. But we must care for our own needs so that we're ready to care for others' needs too. In those days before COVID, when we would occasionally fly, what was one of the first instructions they give you on airlines? Those oxygen masks come down, put your own mask on before you help others. We can love others best when we remember that God loves us and wants us to love ourselves. So in our scripture today, Jesus and the disciples were at the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus was teaching. As always, a crowd pushed in to hear him. He had just finished a parable that was an indictment of the religious leaders of his day, and they were not happy with him. They wanted to arrest him, but they knew that that was going to be tricky because of the crowd who was pressing in to hear Jesus. So instead, they decided to trick him with a series of questions, first about taxes — they were trying to get him in trouble with the Roman governors — and then with a convoluted question about life after death. And as you would expect, as it did every time, the attempts backfired on them. Finally, one of the legal experts who had been listening to Jesus came with another question. And we're not told whether this question was another attempt to trick Jesus, or whether he was sincerely seeking guidance after he had heard the wise way in which Jesus answered the other questions. Whatever his motivation, Jesus gave him his answer, quoting from Deuteronomy and from Leviticus. The question the leader asked was, "Which one of God's laws is the most important?" Jesus answered, "The first is what we all know. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and with all your mind and all your strength." Before the temple leader could ask more, Jesus went on. "The second is love your neighbor as yourself. These two are the most important of God's laws." Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. It seems pretty simple to understand, doesn't it? But it's not always easy to put into action. We know God is the source of all love. And in fact, our love for God and for others is only possible as a response to God first loving us. In the church, we tend to focus on two of those three loves: loving God and loving our neighbors. The idea of having love and compassion for ourselves seems, well, selfish and self-absorbed. We remember biblical admonitions to put others before ourselves. So what then do we do with this commandment from Jesus that also says we're to love ourselves? We begin by realizing that self-love and self-sacrifice aren't mutually exclusive. In fact, we can see how the balance is supposed to look when done well by looking to where the answer always is, to Jesus, by noting how Jesus lived. We can clearly see self-sacrifice, including the ultimate sacrifice of his life on the cross. But Jesus also modeled self-care. He gave much of himself, preaching, healing, teaching, but the Gospels also tell us that he sometimes left the crowds behind to be by himself, to pray, to mourn, and to spend time with his close friends. He allowed others to care for him by serving him meals and by financing his ministry. He even went to parties. Even for Jesus, self-love and care were part of the balance of his life and ministry. Jesus came to earth as one of us, an incarnated reminder that we are all created in God's image. And loving ourselves means that it begins when we get to know the God who made us and realize that we are, as the psalmist says, fearfully and wonderfully made. We have worth and value simply because of that. And if that isn't motivation enough, remember that it is right to love ourselves because loving ourselves is the basis for loving others. Jesus didn't say, love others instead of loving yourself. He said, love others as you love yourself, in the same way that you love yourself. As Jesus cared for himself, we also must care for ourselves, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. This loving regard, this compassion for ourselves, is our pattern for loving others. We cannot give to others what we do not have. Somehow, as humans, we often manage to take good things to their extremes and ruin them, don't we? We take good things that God has given us and we twist them into this unrecognizable shape. Compassion and love for ourselves is really no different than that. On one extreme, we see self-absorbed people who create drama wherever they go, happy to give themselves forgiveness for anything they might do wrong, assuming they even see the need for forgiveness in the first place. On the other extreme are those who struggle to find any self-worth at all, who have no confidence in their abilities and no idea of how special they are as children of God. Both of those behaviors call for intervention. Both are perversions of Jesus' idea of love for ourselves. But many of us live somewhere in the middle, I think. Most Christ followers work hard to put others above themselves. We find ways to be compassionate, to offer grace and love. It's harder, though, for us to give that same grace to ourselves. So how can we do a better job of this, of offering compassion, of loving ourselves? I think first, we can stop negative talk and thought. We offer much harder critique for ourselves and our behavior than we would for someone else who made the same mistakes. The self-talk that often goes through our minds are words we would never say to another human being. And yet they're on repeat to ourselves. You're not worthy. No one loves you. You're never going to amount to anything. Jesus states that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's a lot of power in our words, including our words to ourselves. We need to speak words of life, not just to others, but to ourselves. When we hear the same lies about our unworthiness and lack of value running through our minds, we must stop them with words from Scripture that remind us of who we truly are. I don't know about you, but it's been pretty easy for me to be hard on myself during the months of this pandemic. I felt tired and incompetent at times, unable to find the energy to do what should, in my mind, have been a simple task. I've beat myself up about not accomplishing everything on my to-do list. Even on the same day that I spent hours encouraging others to offer themselves grace in this time, where none of us are experiencing life the way we knew it back in February. Those feelings of anxiety and sorrow are understandable. But God wants us to be compassionate with ourselves, especially in days like these. Dr. William Z, a psychologist who writes a lot about self-compassion, suggests that you keep a journal for just one day and write down all the negative thoughts you have about yourself during the course of the day. Then begin to ask yourself, am I sure these things are true? Am I saying them out of habit? How could I change each thought from a negative to a positive? I would add that we should ask ourselves if God, through Scripture, would say those words to us. We begin to love ourselves by balancing the truth that the Bible tells us about ourselves. And there is a balance there. Genesis 1:27 says, we are created in the image of God. Jeremiah 17:29 records, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? So Psalm 139:14 reminds us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Romans 7:18 tells us that I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my flesh. It can be confusing if we read those verses without the greater context of God's love. There's a rabbinic saying from the 1800s that we all need to carry two notes in our pockets. One should read, the world was created for me. And the other should read, I am but dust and ashes. If we can hold that balance, we may be at the truest point of self-love. Secondly, we must learn to forgive ourselves. Scripture tells us that love keeps no record of wrongs. So if we're to love ourselves, that means we must let go of our failures rather than replaying them in our minds. Now, don't just misinterpret this as a way of avoiding responsibility. We never get to skip the step of owning our mistakes, of admitting our errors, of doing what we can to correct our course and heal the harm, of repenting. True love and compassion for self comes when repentance and self-care find perfect balance. In fact, the soul-cleansing act of repentance, of turning away from what we have done wrong, is one of the most self-caring things we can do. But after that moment of genuine contrition, what comes next? Self-compassion is actually just tapping into something old, ancient even, something glorious and healing, something God has been calling us to all along, grace, not just for others, but for ourselves. Thirdly, we must decide to choose joy. Caring for ourselves involves listening to our hearts, paying attention to our needs, and loving our unique selves. This is how we have compassion for ourselves. And one tangible way to do this is by pursuing joy. So this week, make or do something for yourself that will bring a smile to your face, warm your heart, and make you feel loved. Maybe it's playing a round of golf. Maybe it's baking something yummy for yourself, spending time drawing or painting something for your home, writing yourself a letter, finding a spot outside that you can make your own and spend time in, getting a plant or flowers for your room, doing some gardening, rereading a favorite book. There are lots of ways that we choose joy, pursue joy, and they're different for all of us. It would not be pursuing joy for me to go on a long bike ride, but it sure brings joy to Jeannie when she gets to do that. God made us all differently, right? And so we all have to find our ways to pursue joy. The amazing thing is that often when we are pursuing joy, it leads to wonderful things that we can share with others. Loving yourself well can lead to loving and caring for others in easy ways. Sometimes we get bogged down by rules and expectations. Jesus gave us an easy way to remember all these rules. Loving God and loving neighbor gives us everything we need to be in community. But Jesus also gave us another gift. Being kind and good to ourselves teaches us to love well. We respond to God's love best when we allow it to teach us to love ourselves. This leads us to then show love more truly to our neighbors, because if we see ourselves as God sees us, it's easier to see other people as God sees them too. May God fill our hearts with compassion this week, including compassion for ourselves. May we find ways to choose joy, to whisper kind words to ourselves, and to offer grace, not just to others, but to ourselves. Amen.